So we boil it down, and this is what I see my role as. We boil it down to the simple aesthetics of how we're impacting your bottom line on any given day, right? Like, I always try and break it down to, okay, if we're going to talk about Amazon, well, let's talk about what an Amazon experience looks like, why it's successful, just at a basic level.
You're listening to the Candy Shop Talk podcast, brought to you by Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards Benchmark Research, and hosted by Kevin W. Grossman. Talent Board is the first nonprofit research organization focused on elevating and promoting a quality candidate experience. The Candy Shop Talk podcast welcomes Mark Hogan, Senior Vice President of Strategic Accounts and Partnerships at Symphony Talent, redefining how employers and talent connect, and a proud Candidate Experience Award sponsor. Listen in on how improving candidate experience impacts recruiting and the business bottom line. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. Before we dive into the rest of the show, why don't you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do today?
Sure. So my name is Mark Hogan, SVP of Strategic Accounts and Partnerships. Going on over 13 years now, my 14th year. I would say the easiest way to define what I do, I'm the strategic connector. So I connect clients over many years, folks like UHG, NYPD, General Mills, Chili's, CarMax, many others, to kind of solving everyday problems, right? I don't look at myself as the expert in every minutia or gnat's hair of every single little thing that we do. It's more about how kind of at a macro level we can solve for client challenges and kind of what they have in front of their plates on a day in, day out basis, if that makes sense.
It does. And why don't we go further down that path as well. So speaking of those kinds of challenges, why don't you give us one or two examples of challenges that you are helping them address today? And let's get really down and get caught up with where Symphony Talent is helping the market today as well.
Yeah. So take a couple examples. Without naming specific clients, we work with large big box national global retailer. One of their primary challenges, and what I'd love to focus today on, is really, I know you speak a lot about candidate experience, and sometimes the kind of a forgotten stepchild in that arrangement is how the media experience, right? Where that candidate is touching the client every single day, where they're seeing your opportunity versus your competitors, how that's happening in the market, where it's happening, and how can we impact that as much as possible to actually funnel the right individuals into the place where they're getting the furthering of the candidate experience, right? Over to the career side, over to CRM. So one of our largest global retail clients, traditionally in the past, let's say if we were having this conversation 10 years ago, they are trying to look at all of their thousands and thousands of stores, and they're looking at the bottom performers, right? The stores that aren't bringing in enough talent on a week in, week out basis. And they basically keep a quality report on those stores. So once stores fall below a certain threshold, let's say the bottom 10% or 15%, they're not getting enough volume on a weekly basis, they're constantly having to react and drive new media. Think of it as kind of like the cups that are being forgotten versus the ones that are being overfilled. So if we had this conversation 10 years ago, we've been managing global media AOR for clients for many, many years. Our unique challenge would have been, there really was no way when this client of ours coming to us and saying, hey, pivot to these on a weekly basis, automatically shift and move our media around the way. A lot of the media venues at that time couldn't shift that way, right? We were all dealing with kind of large contractual posting-based contracts, right? And we really weren't into the era of CPC, the cost per click and pay-per-click buying. What we can do now is completely different, right? The way that we control media, I always like to think of it like stock investment. We are both a traditional agency, but we're also a SaaS platform. So we essentially can manage, much like trading off of central desk, and move and shift money around based on need on the fly. And a large part of that now is automated, right? So when a client like that comes to us, now we can take a report like that. We can take a thousands and thousands of row Excel sheet, load it into our structure, and within hours already be placing media on behalf of those stores that are buying performers, right? All of this kind of ties around a candidate experience, because essentially the more we are placing that media in front of the right person at the right moment against the stores where they need it the most or their critical hiring areas, the more we're actually tying the right individuals into the experience, right? Tying the right individuals into the client. And everyone's happy too, right? Those folks aren't forgotten in the funnel. So yeah, that's kind of, well, one kind of example of if that's useful, of what we do in the media space.
Well, it's important as well, because we, for too long, kind of look at it from the one-size-fits-all lens, right? So, I mean, again, not to not disparaging anybody, like not only Civity Talent, but even in your past incarnations or other folks that have been doing these kind of media buys on behalf of their customers for many years now. It is important, especially in a buyer's market, but even not, I would argue, even when it's not, when you're dealing with any kind of high volume turnover at the store level, you definitely need to have as much customized content for the right people that you're trying to attract. And considering the competition in that market as well, right? Because if you are, I'm sure we're talking about a lot of hourly workers, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So how granular do you go then with your customers when it comes to not only what you're finding out from the data of what's working and what's not, but how far do you go for that customization?
Really, at this point, there's no level we can't go to, right? So mCloud, our media platform, essentially is a journey that we've been on for about the last 7 years or so. And where we started was kind of taking those years of managing media, writing where we used to be kind of hands behind the back or a little bit more agency focused because we didn't have, the technology wasn't there yet, right, to manage media in this way. What we were doing was managing all from the consultative side and say, okay, when I want to personalize for a client, when I want to take that client to the next level, I'm going to install the best team for that individual and that specific headquarters and that specific region, right? And I'm going to build plans and move as quickly as we can, but we're really limited in terms of what we could do. Today, when we talk about personalizing to the client and how granular we can get, how much we can kind of wrap a really relevant experience over to that user, we essentially, within our platform where we started with programmatic buying 6 or 7 years ago, we've now grown it into a kind of a one-size, single-source, fits-all client media platform. We can manage essentially any media. That differentiates us a bit on the market from other competitors. I'll be honest, we compete both on the agency side with traditional agencies, but also with SaaS platforms and vendors. And both by themselves tend to have certain shortcomings. We know this, and I'm going to be completely transparent. We know this because we've fallen into the trap on both sides of the fence at this point in our journey as SD. So in the past, we've been just an agency. In the past, even in times in our history, have been just SaaS, or part of the factions we brought in have been just SaaS. And neither one of them, to us, fits the bill entirely by itself, right? We believe that the only way to really, really help clients and prospective clients in the market of talent acquisition is to be able to flex to both, right? To be that consultative partner experience from a brand level, right? And delivers that branded experience, whether we're talking CRM, website, media, but also to be a SaaS platform in today's market, right? Specifically, we're talking about media because media quickly has moved from, hey, I want to manage sites like Indeed or ZipRecruiter or Jobs to Careers within a programmatic structure. And I'm just going to take a portion of my budget, let's say 10%, and manage it in some sort of software or hand it to an agency to manage with some sort of outside vendor that does that. It's quickly moved from that into, wait a minute, can I manage LinkedIn slots programmatically? Can I manage a passive banner buy where I'm targeting specific individuals, let's say within a 100-mile radius of Boise, Idaho, and a specific store that we're trying to fill? How do I reach those individuals? How do I automate that, right? How do I come to you, Mark, and say, listen, I've got $10,000 budget, really, really critical against these stores. I want you to deploy media, and I want that media to shift as soon as we reach a certain threshold or a certain level of applies or hires. Or as soon as I see the next most important thing to us come down the pike, the next job pops up in our feed, I want automatically all that money to move over to that job because that's far higher weighting to us from an importance level. So we now have basically the ability to pilot like this for our clients, which is pretty radical. I'll be honest. We do a lot of educating relative to this shift. We feel like the market is still learning and understanding that, but it's really enormous in terms of where it's gone in the last few years, for sure.
Well, it's what's fascinating is that you got the market just flooded with AI related technology noise now.
Yeah.
And would argue that there's some pretty exciting things happening in that realm too. But I would also argue that there's some really core, everything you're outlining right now, this is what marketers have been doing for a lot longer, right? That level of measuring where spend is going and the greatest return and making sure to be able to pivot when need be. Because, we've seen and heard numbers like, the millions of dollars bled, not more, of this kind of recruitment advertising I have no idea whether it's working or not. The joke about the advertising dollar spent, right? 50%, 50 cents on the dollar, I know it works. I'm just not sure which part. But so you've got this now, right? Where you've got...
Yeah.
the best of both worlds. You've got the media buy advisory service plus a platform that's actually measuring this, where I can go in and say, wow, this is great. The spend's really paying off here in this market and in this radius, this kind of job, but it's not here. Let's now adjust accordingly and move on. That's, again, thinking like marketers, and we talk about that parallel a lot, but that's really important today, don't you think?
You know, it really is. And so Rupesh Nair, CEO, when he came over from Sapient Nitro a few years back, he was focused entirely in that past lifetime on consumer marketing side. So along with that, he really took us into the next era of thinking from the consumer based mindset, right? Recruitment, depending on where you are in the globe, tends to trail. TA just in general, and TA marketing and employer branding tends to trail a lot of this consumer marketing techniques by often as high as 5 to 7 years, right? So we're trying to dramatically close that gap and accelerate the sorts of tools and solutions that we can provide. And you're dead on, right? Like when it comes to AI, it's such an overused term. And I feel like, I mean, Kevin, you must see this all the time, right? I feel like we're on this constant merry-go-round every 2 or 3 years of the latest buzz term, right? If we rewind 7, 8 years ago, social recruiting was going to take over the universe, right, and change everything we do, and maybe we could just do it all in social and not have to do anything else, right? So we're always on this kind of revolving cycle of what's that new hot item. We try as best as we can to leverage off of that, right? It's not that we don't leverage AI in our systems, or you won't, I don't know, find AI talked about when we're talking about what we do with CRM, et cetera, on our sites. You will. But what's more important is that we boil it down, and this is what I see my role is, we boil it down to the simple aesthetics of how we're impacting your bottom line on any given day, right? Like I always try and break it down to, okay, if we're going to talk about Amazon, well, let's talk about what an Amazon experience looks like, why it's successful, just at a basic level. You don't need to know the nuts and bolts of what's working behind the scene. It's not so much what's, you know, what specifically the engine is doing. It's actually more about how it's helping you drive, right? So we'll relate that Amazon experience to the checkout or buying experience alongside of an ATS or alongside of a job description, right? And how we overflow that. What's challenging is when we're trying to leap ahead, we're doing things like talking about, okay, what's the future of Bitcoin and what does that look like? And what is the technology relative to Bitcoin, right? And blockchaining, right? So blockchaining and how it might apply to where the market is going, right? How candidates might eventually control all of their candidate data, regardless of who they're applying to, and send it out or parse it out in the same manner to every single client in the universe, right? Those are the things that we try and look ahead to so that we get ahead of that curve. But kind of breaking it down for clients and making it simple, I think, is always the biggest challenge and something that we try and do to the best of our ability, right?
Well, you've always got to have the future thinking is important, period, in business and technology. And it's not anything new. And, you know, what, and you're always going to have a lot of exciting developments to come out, some that stick and many more that don't over time. And I know that nearly 20 years ago, when I first came into the HR recruiting technology space, prior to that, I was more in consumer technology and B2B. But what I found fascinating was that we were touting AI 20 years ago. Now,
yeah,
with the matching, a secret sauce matching algorithm that we had at the startup that didn't survive, that got demised, but it was .com demise, but it was still pretty, it was an exciting message, but it was way too early in the market. And I think now we actually do have the volumes of data, cleaner data than we've had before, at least context dependent, I guess, on the customer and the client. But we've also got computing power that we've never had before. And we do have better programming today. I think there's a lot of lessons learned. But again, there's a place to understand the shiny objects and the context of how a particular employer may use it at some day and or now, as well as how do I just do a better job of just, you know, targeted marketing, which is really what we're talking about here, and having the ability to see where that's going. Well, I wanted to switch a little bit, and it still relates to the candidate experience. And I don't know if this is something that you can speak to or not, but I know when it comes to the kinds of quote media content that a lot of candidates in our research that they want to see on a regular basis, besides, of course, what's the job about? What does it pay? What are the potential mm-hmm. benefits? I mean, that's all important. That's not going to go away. That's perennial stuff. But the other side of that, though, is they want to hear more from what is it like to work there? Why is somebody working there? They want more transparency into the organization. Are you finding as it relates to on the marketing side, that that's actually resonating more when you're targeting for your customers?
So both work, right? So one of the things that we're doing and just about to release this year, at least on the media side of the house, is starting to finally try and rebroach. We have looked at this challenge for many years, and I think many vendors have tried, but no one's quite nailed it to this point, and ourselves included, is the idea of path hire, right? And the idea, you're absolutely right, right? From a data perspective, we have, and a technology perspective, we have the two points of light and we can bring them together. As a side note, I think one of the major challenges is we still live in a world, and it seems to be increasing, where although every vendor in the universe wants to be that all-in-one solution, most clients don't operate that way. Most clients have multiple vendors. And if anything, it seems like most clients are becoming more and more comfortable with continuing down the path of having multi-vendors than they aren't necessarily consolidating, at least on the front face, right? I think HRIS systems are a different beast altogether.
Yes.
And we start to get into the back end. Consolidation seems to be the thing, right? Workday is a great example. But on that front end, right? So we have that fraction. But to your point, and back to your original question, what we see is that we serve both. So what we're trying to do now is, from an analytics standpoint, we're just about to release, trying to get at that overarching, looking at the entire path. We feel like we finally nailed it, which is when you look at the path of a candidate, the journey of a candidate, they come across both. It is both the tactical media, right? And kind of the comp and bennies, the hows and whats, and the active jobs of the world, right? Hence the global importance of vehicles like Indeed. So it's both that side and what we think of as kind of the overarching, you know, ad drivers, but it's also the influencers, right? And the influence channels tend to range into your passive side of the house, banners, banner advertising, and what we can bring to that table. There's pretty much nothing that we can't put into a banner, right? We've done job search within banners, CRM sign up within banner, pre-roll, et cetera. Social, and especially as paid social has really, really paid dividends. I mean, Facebook was the first to really, really get that to the next level in the last 3 or 4 years. And that really transformed and changed our ability to target individuals we want to, instead of the old Facebook ads where we're quite limited in scope, right? All of those tend to be more influencers within the system. So what we're doing with analytics now is actually doing, you know, a full path of candidate report, which will show both. So we'll show both that last click attribution to, okay, where did I actively click versus what influenced me on my journey to get to that point. Now, what's critical is what you're speaking to, if we take that a step further, right, is really the importance of brand, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about building employer brands, it's absolutely true. What most clients struggle with and where they see problems, there can be many reasons, but one of the things that we always hone in on is if you feel like you're not reaching the right quality talent, typically what's happening is your job descriptions, your media, pretty much across the board, you're focusing purely on tactical. It's here's this job in Boise, Idaho. Here's what you make. Do you want it? Yes or no, right? And when you're doing that, you're focusing purely on that tactical element, that rational element, which is important, but it's still not bringing in the emotional quotient, right? And we know from research for many years on the employer branding side that it's the emotional quality or quotient that people really respond to. Those are the reasons, just as much as comp and benefits, as to why someone wants to go to your organization or chooses you versus one of your competitors on the market, yep. Right? So we definitely do. We try and bridge that gap, whether it be looking from the analytics side or whether it be saying, okay, if we know that to be the case, then how can we say, bring that branded experience into banners, right? So how it relates to media, we might take a banner campaign. We'll buy into large data exchanges and we'll deliver banners to individuals online, regardless of where they are. So, you know, we've been doing this for many years where if we want to target Kevin, we know what Kevin looks like. Right? We don't know who Kevin is, but we know Kevin fits the archetype of exactly who we're trying to reach. He works in this particular industry. He's of this age. He's looking for these sorts of roles. He's worked for these competitors and he lives within a 100-mile radius of where I'm looking. We can deliver a banner to you, whether you're on ESPN or whether you're on Indeed. Right? What we're doing is we're targeting you and we're serving up you exactly the type of banner in your job family, responding to directly the type of role that would draw you in just based on the data trail that you have online. Right? So those techniques are just critical to rounding out a well-balanced media plan between active and passive, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, Mark, what's coming down the road? What's on the roadmap? Tell me something top secret. I promise not to tell anybody else. just between us, but in all seriousness, I mean, what is coming or what has been recently, I mean, that relates obviously to what we've been talking about today that you can share going forward?
Yeah. So on the media side, so outside of kind of getting to that path of Canada, so that's a large one for us. What we're moving into now is kind of fascinating. I think the idea of push campaigns or push media. So it's one thing to, let's say you're a client of ours and you hire on Labor Day weekend. Right? You're going to run into a large problem, which is no one's going to want to be working on right? The likelihood, and again, I'm sure it'll come out 2 seconds later and tell me I'm completely wrong. But the majority of users are probably not on active media looking on Indeed, right? I take a pretty decent sized guess that they're seeing a drop off on holidays or vacation days, right?
Sure.
But let's say we have a client that still has needs over that weekend. Let's say we have a trucking client that still has very specific needs over that time. What we're looking to do now is to get to the next level of automation, right? A large part of what we focus on is automating campaigns as they... So when we sit down with you and you say, okay, trucking is extremely important to us, especially trucking in, say, the eastern half of the country, we set it so that automatically we spend media as soon as those jobs roll in, right? So jobs are fed into your ATS that powers the website and what we do there, powers the CRM, what we do there, but it also powers the media, right? And how we make media decisions. So as soon as, let's say, 10 new jobs pop up, automatically our media is shifting dollars and spend to the venues that are performing really well and driving a lot of candidates. But we've been limited, right, to TPC, social, banners, et cetera. What we're now doing is expanding our automation into push media. So when you have that Labor Day weekend need, we want to automatically be able to shift that money over into, say, email, text campaigns, whether they be externally, or like Hulu, you know, video connected TV, internet radio, you know, iHeart or Spotify, right? Native ads even. So alongside news content that you're reading, we're dropping in kind of sponsored content, right? So what we're pushing for now is we've played in all these venues for manually adding that to the layer of what can auto run alongside of your campaign, which is just pretty deep, right? And these again are things that we can deploy, you know, as opposed to we have to spend weeks planning for this, both sides of the coin, client wasting time, recruiters and TA team members wasting time thinking about it in order to get it up. And then something goes wrong and it doesn't get up on time, right? So all of that is gone. Pretty excited.
Mark, that's awesome. I'm really excited about the direction you're going with Symphony Talent and Media Buys and the platform itself. That sounds fantastic. The last question I wanted to ask you is a question I always like to ask all my guests, because we're known as the Candies, kind of a tongue-in-cheek question is, what else does Mark have a sweet tooth for outside of work? So what else does Mark like to do?
Sure. So recently, it's been all about yoga for me recently. You know, I'll be honest, Kevin, I'm probably like one of any number of countless millions who does that thing where you get into a fitness thing and you do it for a while and then you fall off the block. So a couple of years ago, I got into yoga to start to try and de-stress, and as probably most of us try and do once we get into our later years, but not to great effect, usually because the work schedule impedes in one way, shape, or form. So recently, I discovered the wonderful world of online yoga apps, right? So apps like for your iPhone, like Down Dog. And they're fantastic because it allows me to essentially roll out the yoga mat right in my home office. Instead of rolling out of bed and straight into work, I can roll out of bed straight to the yoga mat for 30 minutes and then get to work, which definitely helps me center for the day. So that's my current thing for sure.
You know, that's great. I used to do Sun Salutations. I need to actually get back to doing some more yoga. I know that my wife and I have been focusing on meditation, actually, which I think has been a nice centering exercise as well. So good for you. And that's awesome. I'm going to have to take a look at that yoga thing again. Absolutely.
Yeah, they've come along. You know, I kind of stumbled across it about 4 months ago, and it's amazing how far those apps have come along. And it's not perfect, right? It can't always replace you. Every now and then, you got to get to the studio for sure.
Right.
But it's amazing, a quick hit kind of every day. And I know kind of that quick fitness thing has become more and more of a phenomenon, and I can see why, right? It becomes easier to fit it in, and at least you're getting 30 minutes most, you know, every day, as opposed to saying, if I can't get into class, then I go 7, 8, you know, 12 days before I go to my, it's been great for that. It's worth checking out for sure.
Excellent. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being on the Candy Shop Talk podcast. And I look forward to meeting you in person someday soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having Kevin. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Candy Shop Talk podcast. For more information about Talent Board and the Candidate Experience Awards and benchmark research, visit www.thetalentboard.org.